Blog Talk Radio.
Outstanding. Thank you, British Lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for 6/22/22. No, I didn't stutter. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. I am your host, Dave Atwell, reporting from Jacksonville, North Carolina, where it is pouring rain. Started right at showtime, of course, right about the time I went to go light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigar. So I'm going to be out on the porch broadcasting this evening instead of leaning on the deck, waiting for the Sasquatch to come out of the woods. Anywho, introduce my esteemed panel of brethren. First off, hailing from the outskirts of Indianapolis, where the llamas and the chupacabra roam. I didn't want to put Bigfoot out there. We already... Tim, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm out in my backyard staring at the alpacas as we speak, to be quite honest with you. And it's funny, I'm having fun watching all the idiots go down the road that I live on because we have one of those road closed signs again. But this time they actually can't get through because the road has been torn up. They're laying like a new ditch, and it's, you know, about 15 feet wide. So no one's getting over it at all. So it's funny to watch all the people that think they're going to be able to go off-roading or something and come right back. But anyway, I won't dig in right now at the beginning. My intro, Todd will yell at me. So anyway, I'm ready for a good show tonight. Let's kick it off.
Outstanding. Yeah, we need some video in the event anybody does something really stupid, man. It's always, you know, unfortunate things aren't something to laugh about. But when people do stupid things, I think it's fair game. So, okay, back up, guys. Wandering through the fur to get to my front door here. So we're going to keep right there in that fine city of Indianapolis and introduce my anchor man and good brother, Todd, what is shaking?
Man, it's just another day. I'm up here doing outstanding the supernatural. I'm ecstatic to be here. So, it's Wednesday. Managed to get my office time done for the week and now to set up my extra long days. So, yay.
As you know, bad can only get worse. You know how that works at the workplace. So, yeah, try to hold it together and keep your sanity in check the best you can, you know. I know exactly where you're coming from.
Right.
So, looks like the rain has eased off a little bit here. Still raining, so I'm not going to get out in it because I may melt. That's right. I'm that damn sweet. Anyhow, tonight's topic. And we're going to be doing an abbreviated show this evening because Dr. John needed some of the allotted time for the show to do a very important interview. So we'll be breaking this off a little early this evening, but then we'll be right back long-winded and going into overtime next week, to be sure. But nevertheless, this week figure we would just jaw about things we've been watching here lately. Any suggestions for good stuff and any tips to not waste our time on the bad stuff. So, who wants to lead off? Anybody watching anything other than porn and test patterns out there?
Yeah, well, I'm watching a video that the daughter-in-law sent. Apparently, there are some guys out there. He's got what it looks like, probably the wives on the back of the boat. He's probably on the front of the boat with the kids, and they got this big, looks like a giant, I don't know, just like sheet of foam that they're resting on behind the boat, tied to the boat. He just dropped a bluegill in there with it, watching the woman sit there and fuss. But the amazing thing is they didn't spill anything out of their drinks while they're trying to dodge the fish. So that's my visual entertainment for the day at the moment. Tim.
Well, I don't know what kind of what genre we're talking about. If we're going to try to dive into something real deep, so to speak, like with politics here or anything, you know, like anything going on. I don't know about that, but movies recently, I've really been into watching the movie Idiocracy. And it's hysterical because that movie is telling the future more so than what anybody ever thought. So it's hysterical, and I just keep watching it over and over. I don't know if anyone's watched the movie Idiocracy. It's pretty funny. It's basically a dude. He volunteers for a program that the Army is doing, and he's supposed to get frozen, cryogenically frozen for like a year. And then they thaw him out, you know, see how it went, blah, blah, blah. Well, the project gets shut down, and the guy doing it, like, gets arrested. Long story short is he's frozen for, like, 500 and some years. I think it was even longer than that, but it was at least 500 years. And then he eventually unthaws and realizes that everybody in the world has become stupid. So it gives you the theory as to how they got there. And it's just quite comical.
That's the one that's got Owen Wilson's brother in it, doesn't it?
Yes, Luke Wilson. Yeah, he's
yeah,
the guy
yeah,
that
yeah.
gets
the Yeah,
that
was a good play.
I like it.
Nice. Well, Life
well,
of Brian was just pretty prescient, too.
Yeah. A little Monty Python action.
You
now,
know,
what was good
enough,
that I just
watched? Watched The Holy Grail. In the last couple weeks, I watched The Holy Grail.
I was actually proud of you.
That whole part with the rabbit, I thought I was going to piss all over myself every time I watched that.
Yep. And the first first time I saw where the guy keeps charging over and over, it shows him just in the same spot, and then finally he's right there. I about pissed myself when I saw that.
Back to that rabbit. Well, yeah, in that whole scene, and they oh, yeah. Got both those scenes, but that damn rabbit scene. I soiled my armor.
When he said, what was it?
She turned me into a newt.
Your mother was a hamster and your father reeks of elderberries or something like that. I fart in your general direction.
Yep. God, I remember seeing that bumper sticker about that. Your mother was a hamster and your father smells of elderberries.
And now, you know, the elderberry stuff is what everybody's taking for whatever reason. It's supposed to be some kind of good herbal thing or whatever. So every time I see it, it's like, man, if I take that, I'll reek of elderberries, man. I don't but take that. Make the French guy right. So Dale's out here to the mailbox, right? And with the rain, there must have been a dozen toads. I'm watching them right now, hopping across the front yard, right? So she goes to the mailbox, and I'm thinking to myself, I know damn full and well she's out there in flip-flops, and I don't know about you guys. I'm sure Todd's heard me rant about flip-flops. Flip-flops are not standard footwear. They're not. They are shower shoes. It's what you wear in public showers to keep the fungus from getting on your goddamn feet. Otherwise, flip-flops are not acceptable footwear. You can't run in them. You can't jump in them. You can't hardly freaking walk in the damn things. Nevertheless, Dale wears flip-flops every damn where she goes. So I'm watching, and as she turns ahead this way, I'm thinking, there's no way she's going to make it across this yard without one of those toads jumping on her damn leg. So instead of saying something, I patiently wait for it to happen. I'll be damned if I...
Well, yeah!
While you guys were speaking, I'm watching her walk, and it was just like goddamn C-3PO and R2-D2 at the beginning of Star Wars when all the damn beams are going and they're just walking in between. I'll be damned if she didn't walk all the way up here and not one toad jumped on her leg. I'm like, come on, guys. I'm looking for a little entertainment here, and you let me down.
So she was doing a Tony Curtis at the pie fight from The Great Race.
Yeah, doesn't get hit with anything.
Yeah, you're walking all the way, not till the very end. And that was, he was walking all the way through that thing. And it was billed as the single greatest pie fight ever, baked goods fight. It was, oh, yeah.
I never saw that until Todd sent it to me.
Yeah, that was an awful lot of pastry tossing right there. That was somebody got paid good money to clean all that shit up. Because that was, you know, and to be damn certain they had to do it all in one take. I couldn't imagine trying to do extra takes of that. I mean, damn. To be certain it took them a whole damn day to clean it up, much less prep for it, you know. So
the amazing time difference, the time to get all the baked goods prepped to use them all.
But speaking on things I've been watching, I actually got done watching Cobra Kai and Obi-Wan, the Kenobi series. And I'll be honest with you, the Cobra Kai thing wasn't bad. It was good. But if you're watching it again, you guys have heard me say it over and over, where you turn on your eyes and turn off your brain. If you're watching it to analyze it, you're watching the wrong thing. Do not watch that with that analytical mind. Just have fun with it.
Excuse me.
You know, it's kind of like the difference would be trying to sculpt something with clay and then playing on the floor with your kids and a couple jars of Play-Doh is what the difference is, so to speak. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it, but it's not, you know, nobody bruises. People are constantly getting their ass kicked. Nobody's getting locked up. It's kind of a drift from reality, but it's really not bad. And for a guy like me who really didn't particularly care for the Karate Kid series in the first place, man, I thought it was pretty fair. I thought it was good.
Yeah,
so,
we watched the first few seasons of it. But just like everything else, and yes, I'm going to blame my wife. We'll start some shows, and she'll be the one to bring them up. She's like, oh, let's start watching this. I've heard it's really good. All right. So we watch, you know, a season or two of it maybe, and then out of nowhere we just stop watching it. And so that's one of the – and for no reason. I mean, we were both into it. So we have, you know, scoped it out, and, you know, like I said, we're not that far in, so I don't know. I've seen previews, and I can tell you that things look – there you go. Definitely have changed in the series, so we need to pick it back up and pick up where we left off, maybe rewind a little bit and get caught back up. So I found it entertaining. I think we've only gotten through two, maybe three seasons. I'm not really quite sure, but I concur. I liked it.
Yeah, wasn't bad. It's kind of funny, I went on this rant today at work about Mr. Miyagi and talking about double tapping things. Because going on the Kenobi thing, without going into the gory details for folks who haven't watched it yet, I know it's still fresh. I just was just totally disappointed. And anybody could pick apart anybody's writing. I mean, hell, I pick apart my own writing. I'll be honest with you, when I constantly reread my writing to maintain consistency in future writing. You know what I mean? That's otherwise known as canon. In literary terms, that's how, you know, things fall into place. And when I read my first book, I don't know how many times I've read it, and I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, did I actually write this? But what's cool is I can see the way my writing is maturing as I continue to write, you know, how it's getting better, how my pacing's better, how my character development's better. You know, so anybody could pick apart somebody's writing. But with the Obi-Wan thing, oh, my God. It was just – it's almost like a sixth grader was writing it for a class project and has never seen Star Wars. But nevertheless, going back to there's an issue during a series where perhaps somebody should have been double-tapped and a lot of goddamn mayhem could have been avoided. So I use Mr. Miyagi as an example. I says, okay, you know, John Kreese was the bad guy for Cobra Kai, the coach, sensei guy, right? Well, if you recall, there's a point when Mr. Miyagi gets him down and has him by the back of the head, has him by the hair, and does a and pulls the hand back and is getting ready to do the karate chop to the nose type thing. And then he stops and does the Three Stooges thing on his nose and leaves him there. Okay. Well, if you watch Cobra Kai, you see what a disaster Sensei Kreese creates for everybody. And I said today, if Mr. Miyagi, they paint him as a damn hero in that series, I says, but had he just gone ahead and finished off Kreese and killed the son of a bitch, all of that mayhem in that damn series could have been avoided. Not that I'm saying you need to freelance murder people, but my point being is, had he just gone on and double-tapped that asshole, wow, a lot of problems could have been saved 30, 40 years later. But no, Cobra Kai ain't bad. It's worthy of a look.
Ay.
So the rain stopped. I'm going to try to mosey around to the back here, walking in the dark. If y'all hear any loud thud, don't laugh. Just make sure I'm all right.
Oh, we'll laugh first. You know how we are.
Now I know what Ray Charles went through. Let's see. Almost there. Now, going to the Kenobi thing. Now, I don't want to get too deep into the Kenobi thing because I don't want to spoil anything for folks that haven't had the chance to watch it. But I'll be honest with you, man. There's something going on in Hollywood right now that's really, really, really getting under my skin. And you know how they always say that people are running out of ideas when it comes down to literature and screenplays and music and everything, that people are running out of ideas, so they keep rehashing old ones or remaking shit. When you have something that works and you have, again, I'll use the term canon, okay? And think about it. Think about all these iconic franchises, characters, storylines out there, you know, Rocky, The Godfather, Indiana Jones, Star Trek, Star Wars. There's a lot of time, there's a lot of devotion from your fan base that goes into that. You know, there's people who have paid money to see the stories. There has been people who had bought merchandise that came from the stories. And there's time invested. I mean, let's face it, The Godfather is a three-hour flick. Godfather 2, three-hour flick. Godfather 3, three-hour flick. So when you have somebody that doesn't handle the story correctly, it is. It's almost a type of blasphemy, if you ask me. And it, and I don't watch Doctor Who at all, but, you know, I've heard over the last couple of years it's been real bad with that, where they've just taken the last 40 years worth of Doctor Who history, if you will, and has just turned it upside down. And that's kind of sort of what they did with this Kenobi thing. It just, it seems as if the people that are writing the stuff are either young and just starting in the writing business, or have absolutely zero respect for past work and the fan base. You know what I mean? I just, and it was aggravating. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I'll just kind of laughing. It sounds like people talking about wrestling.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, in general. I tell you what
thing.
I watched. On Amazon, over the last few years, I managed to watch the Bosch series. And all my workmates had mentioned that the Bosch Legacy was pretty solid. So I managed to, I just waited until I knew all the episodes happened. Don't want to be one of those folks that's sitting there waiting for whatever the new release night is for the series. And Bosch Legacy was pretty solid.
Oh, really?
It was, it was pretty solid. It was just enough, at some points it felt a little busy, but they did a good job tying it together. It really did. Yeah.
And that's on Amazon Prime?
Yeah. You haven't watched Bosch yet?
Uh-uh.
No, it was, I saw it sitting out there. You do your little scroll through the options, and it had been out there as an Amazon original forever. And the Legacy is under the Freevee, formerly IMDb, app. And that that was so you get commercials. So I've actually seen the same commercial 500 times watching that stuff. but you know where they're at, things like that. But it's I guess it's like regular TV, really. The it's not bad. It's the series in general, and it was fairly decent. I knew, like anything, I was like, wait, what? And I guess it was more about character building. I was like, how's this going to play into this later? And it never really did in and of itself. It was more of it was about telling us how these bad guys are. And one of the places, but yeah, it was that was not bad. But as far as that goes, I still every now and again I still slide in the series of the old Adam West, Burt Ward, Batman. In fact, they just started one of the shows as Carolyn Jones, probably best known as Morticia Adams, opposite of John Aston.
Yeah.
She's playing the Queen of Diamonds villain. And,
she did.
All these different people that played. Yeah, she played a villain.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Huh.
Yep.
I would think she would do a good job at that. I can see that.
Yeah,
old Morticia was sharp back in the day, man.
Yeah,
I was always a Lee Merriweather when she played Catwoman. It's like, damn. Yeah.
Well, so far it's been Julie Newmar, and I still ain't fussing. Although she had, I forget one of the things I heard. I think she had ad-libbed a line because of the way she didn't muck about with her voice. In the play with the way she said the words or whatever, and I thought it was thought it was kind of funny. I think she had ad-libbed the line and they kept it in there.
They kept it rolling. Yeah. Because there was a ton of people in that series, man. I mean, I know a lot of, as a matter of fact, Ron Rossman, if you ever get to talking to him and you bring up the 66 Batman, he goes south. He can't stand it. And
really?
I always thought, oh, yeah, yeah, he cannot stand that series. Because it takes away from the darkness and makes
it
a campy.
It sure did.
You know, but on the flip side, you know, for the time, I think it was good. I mean, because you got to remember when, you know, when that show was on, it was, you know, Pink Panther, that kind of stuff was going. You know,
now, and to be clear, when Diamond Dave says that, he's referring to Peter Sellers.
Right.
Well, I mean there might be somebody thinking of old, you know, people be thinking about damn, oh, good Lord.
But Peter Steve Sellers Martin. And not Peter Byers.
Yeah, Peter, yeah, okay. You don't know who Peter Sellers is. You know what? Old boy that did that, that was Blake Edwards, who was also behind The Great Race, just saying.
It was a lame attempt at a joke is what it was.
You got the lame part right.
I was slow on the pull with that one, man, so I'll take some of the heat. I was a little slow on the, yeah, Peter Sellers. He'd get locked up for doing that, can't he?
I should have had that one for the dad jokes episode.
Now there it would have fit. But, you were talking about the people that were in that show. And I think we'll be good hitting our timeline tonight based on where we're at with 27 in and it's us three.
Oh, yeah.
So we know how to do this. I feel like one of the gimmicks they had in the show, I feel, influenced a later run comedy. They had people that were doing different shows or popular actors or whatever. Batman and Robin would be walking up to, you know, they throw the boomerangs up and they were climbing the wall. And somebody would open their windows, and they'd end up talking to one another, including people like Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
And it struck me that the way that window scene was done, I feel like that helped create the Rowan and Martin laughing the joke wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Artie Johnson and his tricycle certainly helped our president with his bicycling the other day.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the tricycle bit on laughing was off. Believe it or not, Todd, I do know about laughing.
You remember when Artie Johnson would put on that motorcycle helmet and get on that tricycle and he tipped the damn thing over? That's all I can think about when I saw Biden fall off that bike. That shit was funny.
I thought he would put on a raincoat. Wouldn't a raincoat?
Yeah, well, he did. He had the raincoat in the hat. There was I don't recall the helmet, but he was doing the old man thing. He was basically the same old man that was getting beat up by Ruth Buzzy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She take
That's
that
it.
Purse and beat the snot out of it, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah. She beat the snot out of him. She parlayed that character into many appearances on the Dean Martin celebrity roast.
Yep. At one time, I think he even became a cartoon of that, too, if I recall. Can't remember. I think it was. I'm not mistaken. But going back to the Batman thing, the amount of people that you were talking about being on there, man, not only the cameos, but, I mean, the character, if you look and name different people that were on that show regularly or just periodically. I mean, it's the who's who of names. And I was actually talking about things I've watched just here recently. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. I watched this thing on YouTube about Burt Ward. And it just happened to pop up. I saw it, and I was eating dinner, and I said, ah, shit, I'll watch this, you know. And Burt Ward had no acting experience at all. He wanted to be an actor, but had zero acting experience. What he was big in was karate. He was just huge when it comes down to working out with the whole karate stuff, you know, and, you know, the meditation and all that jazz. Well, he worked out with and he met a young man, and the two of them were roommates for a little bit, and he met him at karate, and the two of them became roommates, and that young man was none other than Bruce Lee. And what happened was Burt Ward went in to try out for the movie and had zero experience of what he was doing, but he walked in there and just started doing his karate routine, his karate forms, and they thought it was the coolest shit, and they said, this is the guy we need for Robin, and that's how he got it. So, yeah, that was pretty hairy, but if you look, like I said, the names attached to that show, I mean...
Bruce Lee at the time, Kano, and
right.
They had a couple appearances.
Yep.
They did two episodes as, you know, part of two episodes, and they did one of the window appearances.
And there's also a little side story to that. When they did the crossover and had the Green Hornet on the Batman show,
right?
That Bruce Lee had, of course, by that time reached some different level of stardom. And behind the scenes, he told the producers that he wanted to have, if he had 1 second less screen time than Burt Ward, that he wasn't going to do the gig. And I found that pretty interesting. I was like, wow, all right. You know, sounds a little salty, but nevertheless.
Huh.
Yeah, that was...
I got to do a tie-in that I think cuts across a couple ways with things you mentioned. Pink Panther was brought up. We talked about Ronan Martin's. Artie Johnson was specifically mentioned. If you remember with the Pink Panther cartoon series, there was the ant and the aardvark.
Yes.
And Artie Johnson voiced ant and the aardvark.
Because Jackie Mason did the aardvark, didn't he?
It was Artie Johnson doing a throw-up of Jackie Mason.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As his Jackie Mason was so good that I think, yeah, I thought it was Jackie Mason for years.
No kidding. Well, I'll be damned. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the ant kind of had some pseudo-Dean Martin influences.
Because he was always a little smooth. Yeah, he had that smirk. I'll be damned, I had no idea.
Yeah, that was Artie Johnson that did. He did his best Jackie Mason, and it was solid. And there were some great lines in it.
What
he likes a smart ant.
Full
and
deep.
It
yeah. I'll be damned. Huh.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid. God, I used to live and die by watching the Pink Panther. As a matter of fact, it was kind of funny because I used to watch Pink Panther cartoon all the time. So when we went to a drive-in to see the Pink Panther, and I was all worked up about it. I was like, hot damn. This is when we first moved to Paris Island. And, you know, you're sitting in the back of the station wagon. You're getting ate up with bugs the whole damn 9 yards. The whole station wagon is reeking of off because the whole, you know, the old man stuff fumigated the whole damn station wagon. And we're sitting there just.
But
you know,
it wasn't elderberries.
No, it wasn't elderberries. And we were sitting there taking it for the team because we knew Pink Panther was one of the movies we were going to see. And then we see Peter Sellers, and I'm like, wait a minute. This ain't the Pink Panther. I'll never forget that mess. I'm trying to remember what the other movie was that was on. But, yeah, that old drive-in movie theater that was down there in Beaufort, South Carolina. Oh, God, the movies we saw at that damn thing. I remember Dad was overseas. We went to go see Peter Pan, and that was back in the day where you couldn't watch Disney at will. You had to wait till they were re-released every so many years. And Peter Pan was out. Mom took me and my brother, and there was one of these hellacious, out-of-control electrical storms that came up out of nowhere and scared the piss out of me. Me and my brother were just like, I mean, because of freak, damn Frankenstein lightning and shit.
Well, I guess station wagon had to be fumigated for a different reason then.
Yes, yes. Had brown interior when we were done. It was, then there was another time where Mom and Dad wanted to go see Coal Miner's Daughter, right? And you know, the drive-in used to always be a double feature usually. Well, the first movie was a movie that my folks had never heard of called Fatso. And it had Dom DeLuise in it. Well, it wasn't suitable for an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old kid sitting in the back of the station wagon. So I remember Dad making a run and getting, like, you know, a couple pillowcases full of popcorn. And, you know, here, eat this shit, face the other direction. So we had to sit there and look out the back of the damn station wagon while Fatso was playing. And then it was over with. We can go ahead and watch Coal Miner's Daughter. Ah, yes. That was the way parents used to raise their kids. They used to try to keep them away from bad shit back in those days.
My wife gives me a hard time because my parents took me to see Cocoon. I don't think they realized it had a top of the scene in it. That was back in, what, 80? I don't know. Cocoon was in the mid-80s, I think. Early to mid-80s.
That was the one with Don Ameche and all them, right? Where the old folks got useful again?
Yep. Won't get any older and we won't ever die.
Yeah. What was the topless scene in that? I don't remember their boobs being in that.
Yeah, there's...
Dave surfing the internet right now. That's hilarious.
I'm going to say, I'm going to have to go look this one up.
It's one of the...
Who were
one
the
of
cast members? Were they good ones? And were they the boobs when they were young, not when they were old?
Yes.
Where you go to show them to somebody,
they got to lift up your skirt.
The main human. His name. Same guy that was in one of the police, a couple of the Police Academy movies. Played one of the main rookie cops. It was him, but I can't think of the female. And, yes, she was attractive. But it was one of those where she was going to take off her, I don't know, her suit or something and expose, like, what she looked like. But I'm pretty sure she was actually topless.
Too funny.
I remember I was watching The Godfather. And, of course, The Godfather is one of those films you just watch when nothing else on, you know. And Rob was about 6. And he's sitting on the floor playing with his Legos and his, you know, Star Wars guys and everything. And that part when Al Pacino goes back to Italy and he meets Apollonia and they get married. were on their wedding night. She pulls her jersey off, and it's one of those ones I'm too busy staring at a rack to think about my six-year-old son sitting there looking at the same thing. And I immediately snap to it. I'm like, oh, shit, grab him for the remote. And I'll never forget it. Rob turned around and looked at me and goes, they're just boobs. I said, all right, well, if you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. Let's continue with the film. Another good dad moment.
Nice.
Oh, man, but I keep rolling back in my head about this Batman thing. Todd's done got me hooked on that because, of course, one of the first ones always comes
to mind. It's on Amazon Prime, free V. It's on there. Just go ahead and do your search.
Ah, okay.
Or you could go.
Sid Haig was on there. Because
like
Sid Haig played Kid Cut.
Yeah, the boy, the guy that did the first Mr. Freeze, I think they had somebody else, a couple do it over the period of time. He was the same guy that voiced Bagheera in the animated Disney's The Jungle Book.
Really?
Yeah. They had some people. You stop and you think, oh, boy, I cannot remember the name of the movie. But the guy that played Joker all the way through the whole deal where he wasn't going to, Sid Caesar, I guess, he wasn't going to shave the stash and all that. But, like, he was in that damn movie in the South Pacific, and hell, that may not be the name, with John Wayne and Lee Marvin. And,
Cesar Romero was the actor.
Cesar Romero. There we go. Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
He was, he wasn't going to do it, but they forget. He was a well-established actor. Well-established. Had done a bunch of stuff, and he did that. And it's funny. You see these little tidbits or something. He had read some piece of the script, and he did an absurd laugh at the absurdity of the script, and they were like, that's it. That's the Joker laugh right there. He's like, really? All right.
But you're right, though. He wouldn't get rid of the mustache, so if you look real close, they powdered over the mustache. And I actually own, you know, those Funko Pops, the bobbleheads that everybody collects? I have the 66 Batman collection. And if you look at the Joker one, you could see a little mustache that they've actually put in to keep it real. Yeah, Cesar Romero, a lot of people, you know, as a guy like myself who loves the Joker, man, I've often said all the way up to the Jared Leto thing that they just hit in this Suicide Squad, every Joker was perfect for the times. You know, the Cesar Romero was the campy, dark, but not overly dark, goofy kind of Joker. And then Jack Nicholson, you know, having the kind of snarky, creepy kind of Joker. And then, of course, you know, you go into the darker phase of it with Heath Ledger. And, you know, all those, and then Mark Hamill doing the voice on Batman animated series was, I mean, he was just awesome with that, man. So, now I can tell you, if you like Batman.
You're forgetting one. Good Lord. And, of course, I can't think of his name. Just the movie Joker.
Oh, yeah, Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes.
He killed that movie. That movie was awesome. Yeah, that movie was And the writing. Yeah. Okay, now go back to what I was saying earlier about the writing. Whoever wrote that actually knows something about the Joker, because that movie is a damn mind warp, man. I mean, because it takes you way over here, and you actually find yourself lamenting with the
yes.
Joker. You actually find, and I mean, it drags you, I mean, hour and a half into the movie, you're actually feeling pitiful for this guy. And then you find out what's going on, and you're like, holy shit, this guy even duped me.
Yeah,
and,
there's parts of things through his eyes. There's parts of it where it takes you in to and see it from his eyes. And it's just, it's a mind blow.
Yeah, that was an excellent film. That's probably one of the better flicks that I've seen in the last two or three years right there. I thought Joker was excellent. And you can watch it 100 times, and it's another one of those films that you watch and you pick up something every time you watch it. But, yeah, that was an awesome flick. Now, who else was Burgess Meredith was the Penguin.
Yep.
And we all know the Penguins don't make duck sounds, but according to Burgess Meredith, they did. And then Burgess Meredith, of course, went on to be Mick. He's going to kill you, Rock.
And he
that
will, was it, man, I stopped and I think going back to Twilight Zone, he was interesting in the Twilight Zone when he got the glasses broken.
Yeah. And he was in a couple war flicks, if I recall, too, over the years. But, hot damn, this lightning's starting to get nasty here, son. Good grief. Yeah, because speaking on franchises, Rocky, I still to this day, when he's up in Rocky's apartment and he's trying to talk Rocky out of fighting Apollo, and he's going, you know, he's talking about Rocky's left eye, how he can't see, and he slaps the shit out of Rocky, and he goes, and, you know, the whole time you're watching, you're going, damn, he just slapped the shit out of Rocky. But then he hits that, he looks down at the ground, and if you're a dad, it really gets you in the damn gut, because there's nothing more heartbreaking than to break bad news to your son. You know what I mean? It's especially when you're a dad. There's that dad and son bond, and when you got to break some bad news to them, it's a total gut punch. But he, when he slaps Rocky and he says, well, I hate like hell to do that to you, kid, but if some old dried up old man could do that to you, God knows what the champ's going to do to you. And you're like, you pause it and then you walk into the bathroom for a couple minutes. You come out, your eyes are all red. You know, are you crying? No, it's pollen. It's December. There's pollen in December. Don't hate me. Don't judge me. That's another key part of movies. Everybody, a lot of times, with films, they always go to certain... Take, for instance, like The Godfather. They always talk about the horse head being in the bed and everything. And, yeah, that is a very, very riveting part of that film. But if you sit down and watch that thing and you go deep in that movie... There's so much in there that just really gets you. The part when Brando is talking, when Brando's retired and turned everything over to Al Pacino, and he's outside in his garden, and he's telling, you know, I didn't want this for you, Michael. You were supposed to be Senator Corleone. And he's talking about... Sonny, who was James Caan's character, and he's like, you know, and he's talking how he was always a hothead and, you know, couldn't make too impulsive, and then he gets to Fredo, and we all know Fredo was kind of missing a few screws, and And Brando just goes, Fredo, Fredo. You know, and it was like he was admitting without saying the words that Fredo was a step slower than everybody else. And it was just magic. And like I said, a lot of people will overlook moments like that in films, just like Rocky. I mean, there's so many good quality things in Rocky that you don't pick up on because you're too busy watching the training montage and him fighting at the end and all that. Because everybody in that film, Burt Ward or Burt Young, oh, God, he was awesome. And when he threw the turkey out in the yard, you know, you never get out of the house, Adrian. Get out of here. The turkey's going to burn, Paulie. The hell with the turkey. And he takes the turkey and throws it out in the yard. There's a guy who's trying his best for his sister, but he's going about it all the wrong ways. You know what I mean? And that's who Paulie was. Paulie had a heart of gold. He just couldn't get it across. He couldn't deliver. And Burt Young was just awesome in that flick, but he never gets the credit that he should have, you know?
Hilarious.
Rocky's another flick, though. If you look at the cast in that one, you know, they do the seven ways, the Kevin Bacon thing. If you look, I mean, Talia Shire, she was in The Godfather.
Yep.
Then, of course, you know, Sylvester Stallone, ain't got to go deep dive on him. Burt Young, with all the stuff that he's been in, Burgess Meredith, Carl Weathers. You know, and nobody really knew it when they were watching, when they were sitting in the theater, what was it, 1976 when Rocky came out, I think? I don't think anybody really realized that they were watching a film that had the future in it, you know what I mean? There was a lot of damn people in that flick who still to this day are putting movies out. Well, the rain's picking up. Looks like I might have to make a mad dash to the front. We shall see. I'm going to try to stay here to the end of the show, hopefully, if the rain and the lightning will be kind. Oh, man.
So we're looking at 22 minutes, right?
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
All right, so I haven't watched much TV, so original topic was good or bad, anything on. I was trying to think of just some of the crap I haven't wanted to see on TV, but it's tough to even pinpoint that just because I have been avoiding TV, just no particular reason, been kind of busy, but still try to each come up with something. I don't know, how about worst movie in the last 5 years?
Which one was that?
That's a general question to everybody. What, in your opinion, what is the worst movie in the last 5 years?
Oh, God. Well, you can just about turn on Netflix and get your...
I will not disagree, but what's funny is Netflix is like my go-to right now, solely for the... They have, I think I brought it up before, they've got the category of 90-minute movies. But, yeah, a lot of them, I'm kind of like, at the very end, I'm like, well... There's an hour and a half of my life I'm never going to get back. So,
yeah.
Yep. I don't disagree.
A lot of the horror flicks on Netflix are like that, where it feels like you've already seen it.
Yeah. The action movies are especially like that. It's like, my God, it's just the same thing over and over. It's just like a video game. But it's like a 1980s Nintendo video game where you just run, jump, and shoot. Just it all looks a little
yep.
bit different, you know. Different
yeah.
scenery, but the same damn thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah, they're also guilty of not respecting canon to a certain extent, because they've taken several books and made them into movies or series on Netflix. And you watch the first one and you're like, wow, okay, that was a pretty good adaptation of the book. You know, it's like, all right, that's good. I'll watch season two. Well, then you will notice, and the thing you got to look for when the credits roll at the beginning, look and see if it says, take for instance, like Godfather, Mario Puzo wrote Godfather, right? Well, let's say somebody wants to do a movie about the characters, the Corleone family, okay? It'll say the keyword based on the story by Mario Puzo. And that tells you that that's pretty much fan fiction, that somebody has taken Mario Puzo's character establishment and writing a story with it, which, to be honest with you, speaking from a writing side of things, character establishment is one of the hardest things to do when you're writing. So if you're writing a story about somebody that nobody knows, it's a whole hell of a lot more challenging than to write a story about Han Solo. Everybody knows who the hell he is, right?
To establish my own character.
But it's true, you know. And, yeah, there's been several things on Netflix that you watch the first little bit, and you're like, all right, it's good. And then all of a sudden, it just takes a nasty, nasty turn. Now I finally remember what it is. Talking about worst films I've watched recently. I can't remember the name of it. The Cumberbatch. What's his name? Doctor Strange. You know who I'm talking about. Can't remember his first name.
Okay, yeah. Also Sherlock Holmes.
Right. That cowboy movie he made. Oh, my God. The one that Sam Elliott got busted for it. Not busted, but he got on a podcast, and Sam Elliott just let it fly. And if you get a chance, I can't remember the name of the film, but the movie was absolutely horrible. You guys know me. I'm a sucker for a Western. So the minute I see, you know, horses and the prairie and shit, I'm all in. Oh, my God. It was awful. And apparently Sam Elliott had gotten on a podcast and expressed his dislike for the film. And some of the folks on the left started saying some nasty things about Sam Elliott. Of course, Sam Elliott could care less. Why? Because he's Sam Elliott. The only guy who gives him Chuck Norris a run for his money would be Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott's bad as shit. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, but in the event you see a Western on Netflix and it has Cumberbatch in it, is it Edwin Cumberbatch? Ed, does that sound right?
No.
Edward Cumberbatch.
But I know, we know what you're talking about.
Okay. If you see he's in it, run. Do not. If I've never done anything for you in the past, let me do something for you in the future. Do not watch that movie. I don't care if it was nominated for an Oscar or not. It was nominated for an Oscar for a reason, and I'll leave it at that. So,
oh, Lord. But, yeah, it might be a head when you say it, but, yeah.
In the words of our wonderful former First Lady, Nancy Reagan, just say no. Don't do it.
I can tell you the worst film I've seen in the last 5 years. I'm trying to actually look it up to remember the name of it. I think it was Matt Damon, and I see a couple of clips here from a movie called The Last Duel, and I think that is what it.
Him and Adam Driver.
Is that the one I think with the one that I went to go see that I'm trying to speak of is where it had there was a storyline and then you saw the three different points of view of it and I just thought it was
yeah.
so dumb.
Yeah.
And I kept yeah. wanting to wait till the end and then it ended so dumb. I don't know. I just remember just being like, man, this is a total waste on my freaking Saturday afternoon. It was I didn't like it.
That was another one that was supposed to be because that was kind of like one of the first releases when COVID, when after Putin solved the world of COVID and invaded Ukraine, that was one of the first flicks that hit the theaters, and they were expecting that thing to drop some bank, and it didn't do shit.
Yeah,
the Last Duel, him, Adam Driver, and I can't remember who the hell the chick they were fighting over was in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's another thing, man. I'm a sucker for some damn good old fashioned medieval, you know, battle
right.
axes. You know,
same here.
Yeah, I mean, hell, Game of Thrones before I ever read the books. I mean, I think there were like five or six episodes in, and I happened to be flipping through the on-demand thing for HBO. And I was like, you know, what's this damn Game of Thrones, man? I mean, you know, they got the right word in there, thrones. That's either about a toilet or about something medieval. So, man, let me look. And I started reading the cast. And I'm like, yeah, don't know him. Don't know him. Don't know her. Don't know those two. Well, Sean Bean's in it. Sean Bean's one of those sleeper actors, too, that... He's in everything, but nobody can name five of his films. But he's usually excellent in every damn thing, and he dies in everything, too, of course. I mean, he was Boromir in Lord of the Rings, and he played the Hitcher in the remake of the C. Thomas Howell flick. And
the original is way better. 13, just.
Oh, yeah. Ah, very good. Well, that being said, I dare say maybe we should pull the plug as the rain picks up here in Jacksonville. So, what do you say we go ahead and pass the biscuit, and then we'll go ahead and euthanize the show to make sure Dr. John has plenty of time for his interview. So, Tim, how about leading off for us, brother? What kind of parting shots have you got?
I don't have much to say. Another one of those off weeks due to the three-day weekend. I'm not complaining, but it does mean that the little week is a little bit off normal schedule. So just got to remember to take the trash out, normal stuff like that. You know, looking to finish up the treehouse and keep ranting about it. But, you know, I'm proud to have done that for my son. Try to get him involved to build a little bit, but he gets bored easily. So he's watched me do several steps, but you know, that's mostly he's just been an audience member. So looking to wrap that up this weekend. And that's about all the Armstrong homestead, that good old-fashioned alpaca farming, you know, at its finest out here.
Outstanding. And I tell you what, those picks are sharp, man. That's a fine bit of engineering you got going on there in that treehouse, man. Well done. And, I mean, God knows what you're going to do. You guys will get on that, and 6 months from now, you'll get up there and go, you know what would be neat if we did X, Y, and Z? And 5 years from now, you're going to look at the damn thing and go, wow, it started all right here, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really want to see them up there 6 months from now in December.
Oh.
Yeah, getting up there with the ice is going to be a challenge. Hey, you get your
little
crane or something like that.
I would say that wouldn't be out of the question, but, you know, now that I don't drink any alcohol, I think the chances might be a little bit slim to none in December. But before that, you know, whiskey and Coke running through my veins, God only knows what I'll do.
Well, part of me's thinking, dude, all the different movies that have involved different tree houses, there's got to be a sliding rope escape. There's got to be a rope up and down kind of, or even a... Dude, what about the old fireman pole?
Yeah,
yeah,
dude.
I thought about it, but I had to compromise.
Some sort of slide for life thing to escape from there. of course, you know, I like the idea of the pull-up ladder. You know, maybe not too different than the attic entrances that people have in their garage or whatever.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the floor's already in.
Yeah.
Oh, you can come up with some stuff.
Damn, that was a nasty thing. Oh, fuck. All right. Woo. All right. Hot. Damn. That was a little Frankenstein lightning right there, boys and girls. That was a, woo, all right. And now if I could swallow my butthole back down into place, give me just a minute. Okay, well, I am fully aware I have no blockages in my arteries now. That scared the bejesus out of me. And that was right in front of me. Holy shit. Yow. Anywho. Tim, good to have you aboard this evening. Well done this evening. Thank you for the assist. Todd, talk to me.
All right. The every day we do what we got to do to get things done, work-wise, whatever. Yeah, sometimes it's extra hours. Sometimes it's cajoling. Sometimes it's a little bit of butt-chewing. But in the end, I only do work for one thing, to be able to take care of the family. So I take care of the family, and I half-ass take care of myself to do that. And so we can take care of one another. The in the end, you guys know I'm going to talk about family. Love them, miss them. It's harder to return than ever. So, here's your family. All yours, brother.
Standing. Well, real quick, like, I might have to make a mad dash indoors because the lightning's starting to get a little robust. Real quick, dates, September 10th, the Jacksonville Minicon, Lionized Games, New River Shopping Center. That'll be a free event, to the best of my knowledge, and that'll be kind of a warm-up for the Jacksonville Con, which will be February 18th. Again, I had some bad intel a couple weeks back. It'll be February 18th. If you get to the Jacksonville Minicon on September 10th, there will be $5 off admission coupons being passed out. So that, you know, anytime you can save $5, that will get you a robust gallon of gas now, or it used to get you three. Nevertheless,
Did get gas today at $5 a gallon. It was $4.99.9.
Wow. Yeah, and everyone says, oh, it went down. No, it didn't. It dropped, but it didn't go down. Then we've got the Havelock Comic Con on November 19th. That is the weekend before Thanksgiving. And then November 26th, 27th in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, will be the Grand Strand Con. That'll be Black Friday weekend at the Myrtle Beach Convention Center. And then, as I just mentioned, February 18th at the Sturgeon Center here downtown Jacksonville, we'll be having the Jacksonville Con. And as names are added, I will announce, I know our good friend Josh Alexander is more than happy. I spoke to him. He's more than happy to be joining us and be heading up the cosplay division. So looking forward to reconnecting with
him. Oh, yeah, he's been killing it.
Yeah, it's been far too long since we've seen him. Other than that, the Hunger series on Amazon, Rotting Frontier Revelations and Ripper by yours truly, Dave Atwell. Look it up. And if you don't mind, drop a few coin, give it a read. And lastly, given this is kind of a preemptive thing real quick, but we are, what, today's the 22th. So that gives everybody, 12 days to remember that July 4th is coming up. And if you own dogs, you've got to get these guys baked. And don't be the one who bitches on Facebook about people lighting fireworks up on July 4th. You know what's going to happen. So instead of stopping the world from lighting fireworks to celebrate America's independence, fight the better fight and take good care of your dogs. There are products out there that will get them high, for lack of a better term. Nothing like getting your dog baked, as I'm sure some the rest of you will be doing anyway on July 4th. So, yeah, think about them. Check out PetSmart. Check out your vet. There are certain CBDs that you can give your dog that will put them at ease. And do not be afraid to consult your vet on other home, like Benadryl and the like, and melatonin, that kind of stuff that you can safely give your pooches. But consult your vet firstly and find out the dosage size and whatnot. But, yeah, think about the doggies. July 4th ain't going to go away. And put them at ease so you can enjoy the holiday and so can they. So, with all that being said, with about 4 minutes to spare, I am going to set my cigar here. I'm going to grab my band. And I'm going to go in, cue in the old salty British lady. Todd, I am going to use the baño and get myself another cold malt beverage, and I'll give you a call. If the lightning gets too bad, I might have to cut you short, but nevertheless, I will give you a buzz momentarily.
Good to go.
And as I ease into Atwell Manor, and I went through the front door, so I didn't fight the janky. Yes, guys, it's me. Remember me, the guy who feeds you? Okay. As my dogs act like somebody's breaking in, which is good because normally they only
get up and move around
when you open a bag of pork skins. But all right, nevertheless, if you're in the Onslow County area, please be careful. Things are looking pretty nasty outside. And with all that being said, gentlemen, appreciate the good conversation this evening. Y'all rock. And we will see you all next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. British lady. All right.
All
right,
all.
Here's that count, Tom.
Good night, everybody. Y'all take care.
Later, all. Be safe.
And British lady.